You are listening to a Star Wars The Old Republic community podcast. This is the Torch Syndicate.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 37 of the Tor Syndicate Community Podcast, being recorded in front of a live simulation of a recorded virtual audience on October 4th, 2011. This is Barslan of the Mantel Syndicate. We're playing home to the galaxy's best scoundrel, scum, and scruffy-looking nerf herders, and sharing in the hosting responsibilities with me today, co-founder of the Tor Syndicate and head muckety-muck over at Guild Umbra, it is Lord Hammer.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Oh, yeah, and over there in the corner, chained to the wall next to the Kowakian monkey lizard, it's Vertek the intern.
Hey, guys. Help.
Did you bring us our coffee yet, man?
Chained to the wall. Did you miss that part?
Actually, I got to be honest, and I got to say it right now. All of the insane work that Vertek has done is he's actually worked his way out of an internship and... Yeah, I think I would call him, and I don't know what you would say, Barislan, but I'm totally open to the opinion. I'd actually call you the producer of the show now. I mean, you've gone from being our little biatch, helping us do a lot of little mundane tasks as we slowly showed you what to do, and then the trust level went up, and you've gone from doing all that to helping us combat the legion of Chinese gold farmers to full-on administering the site and completely running and helping us make very efficient the whole entire application membership and really getting the people in. So, I mean, I think you've totally stepped up to the plate. I think you've completely knocked every single thing we've given you out of the ballpark. And you basically have taken what, because we grew so big so fast, had been on life support system for a little while, into a really efficient website again. And so I just want to thank you for that, and I'd say you're now the producer of the show.
I'd like to thank the Academy and all my
he's all still Vertek the intern to me. Producer implies a certain level of authority and respect that I'm getting there, you know, baby steps. So,
but well, either way, glad to be a part of it. It's definitely an exciting time. I'm having a blast myself. So,
well, all right, Vertek, the intern producer. Who else did you bring with you today?
Well, we have two fun little guests. Especially for those who haven't seen them or heard them or read of them. We have Dahaka from Nothing Gaming. Say hello.
Oh, hello there. I like to get to scrape the bottom of the barrel of the Tor community to dig up me and Nick here. Yeah, that's the first bleep. You might as well just start getting that everything ready. Because, I mean, yeah.
We'll just have to say this one's adult when we publish it.
Oh, yeah.
Just name the show. Bleep, bleepity bleep.
I mean, Vertek kind of knows what I do. But then if you guys are to like big bootleg people, you know that it's probably me and Galactic Underground, the two completely no-holds-barred shows about Tor there is. So, I mean,
I actually did a bootleg with you, and that was really fun.
That's me.
All right. So who else is with us today, Mr. Vertek?
Well, the other guest we have here, Doc, I kind of spoiled that surprise, but it is Nick from The Nickquisition, as well as Pink Side of the Force.
Welcome.
Hey, girl.
Holla. All right, so let's get this started off. We'll start with Nick, and you were actually one of the members of the Tor Syndicate pretty early on relative to a large amount of the sites that we have on there now. And essentially, not to steal the thunder, your site, it started out initially and might completely still be that, but it was the first site that we had on it was a blog about the class, the Inquisitor. Would you say that's true?
Yep. I think I may be the first person to start blogging about it. I'm not sure. I haven't found any other ones.
You were the first person I knew of. I mean, yeah. I mean, you're really high up there. So tell us about yourself, and tell us about the Nickquisition, the site, and then we'll go off into your new project, or your secondary project, rather.
All right. Well, I'm Nick. I'm the official Cantina dancer for Bootleg Radio as well.
I have video that's hidden on my site for it. It's awesome. It's fantastic.
It's
available for parties.
Yeah. I only take euros.
Oh.
I have a little blog. It's called The Nickquisition because it's the name I've been going with for as long as I can remember. My gaming career is Nick, spelled N-I-Q. So Nickquisition, Inquisition, just switch the I and the N.
Yay, oh, I see what you did there. Yeah.
Right?
Right.
That's creative as hell. So yeah, I run a little Inquisitor blog, and I just kind of tell you guys about my happenings and my experiences with the class. I'll be playing a Corruption Inquisitor, so you're mostly going to be seeing information on healing, my experiences in operations, you know, the rotation that I found to be the best, the spec that I'm going with, as well as just, you know, random happenings. You know, like I got hit on by another, you know, 300-pound dude playing a Twi'lek in the cantina. Fun times.
So what made you decide to choose the Inquisitor as the class that you wanted to play?
Oh gosh.
And moreover, the class that you want to blog about.
Well, I'm not really like a big fan of alts. So whenever I have a character, it's like my character. Because I had a Resto Druid blog in WoW because I played a Resto Druid and I wanted to tell people about it. And now that I've quit WoW, I'm like, I need something else to occupy my time. But I chose the Inquisitor because I really like, I don't know, magical healing, I guess, as opposed to like healing with med packs and like darts and whatnot.
Right.
So I knew I wanted an actual, like, you know, caster with, you know, quote unquote magic, the force. So I knew I wanted that. And then it was between the Consular and the Inquisitor. And I was like, well, I'm not going to be Republic.
Good.
Because who wants to do that?
Seriously.
All right, haters gonna hate. Whatever.
okay, so how long have you been doing blogging? I mean, did you just start when you did the Nickquisition, or have you done it for other sites as well?
Well, for The Grove, which is my Resto Druid blog, I'd done that one for, I want to say 6 or 7 months.
Okay.
So it's been almost a year now of blogging overall.
Right, okay. And that's probably a better way I should have formed the question. You know, overall you've been doing it. So you started it when it came just to the game space in general.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So where is it you see yourself going with blogging? Do you see it being a pathway into more journalistic adventures, or do you really just kind of enjoy the, you know, the freedom of just kind of, you know, just blogging, just, you know, shooting out information that's in your head and maybe seeing the responses that community, you know, how they react to it?
Well, that's something I thought about pretty early on with this, because in The Grove, I stressed myself out with the old blog, and I was just like, because I thought I had to be like a news site as well.
Right.
Because every other Resto Druid blog was, they were all popular and they had like a bajillion comments and like all these people knew about them. And I thought, man, in order to be like that, I have to be like these people and have all this news and like all this creative writing ability. And then with this one, I thought, okay, let's back it up because all that did was stress me out. So with this one, it's just going to be me, just like my raw thoughts. There's going to be some theory crafting behind it. Just because, you know, because I like to share that. I like to talk about theory and everything. But it's not going to be a site that you want to go to if you're looking to, you know, min-max and look at and, like, detail every single, you know, little, and get all your optimization. And this is not a site for that. It's just, these are my thoughts. This is kind of how I do things. If you read it, awesome. If you don't, whatever. Low expectations.
Which I like that idea from the stand. I mean, there's going to be a gazillion sites out there, especially after the game launches with, you know, min-max details. Oh, yeah. And all that sort of thing. So having like a personal twist on it, I think, you know, makes you stand out a little bit more. And while it may not attract huge numbers because everybody's looking for min-max, I think it offers a lot more unique and interesting take on it than you'll see it in most websites. So.
And it's compelling too, because it shows, you know, the human element. I mean, I understand the logic behind min-maxing, but I don't understand the fun of min-maxing, if that makes any sense.
No, not actually.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it myself. It's
poning is the fun of min-maxing.
Not that fun.
I mean, again, I mean, I get the reality of it, but I mean, min-maxing in general is only, in my opinion, really only good if you're trying to do PvP. I mean, you can totally be successful in raids without min-maxing.
Well, not if you're trying to push heavy content.
I gotta say something. No way in hell. No, if you actually want to be good and be successful in PvE, then yes, you do have to min-max. Unless you're gonna be like, you know, super casual, I don't really care what we do, whatever thing, that's fine. But no, if you actually do want to benefit your entire group that you're raiding with, yes, you do need a min-max for PvE more so than PvP.
Yeah, you always need at least somebody doing the min-max thing, because even if you're say like a part-time casual player, but you really want to get the most out of your character, if you don't know what gets you the most benefit with the minimum amount of points invested, you're going to be floundering around and you may not have the most fun. I mean, that's a benefit to them, although they may enjoy the whole playing around with it. But if you're going to try and push like the end game content as hard as you can, as soon as you can, yeah, you got to get the most out of your character.
Well, right. I respectfully disagree. So anyway, Nick, why don't you tell us all about your secondary project that you've just recently launched?
All right. Well, I have another site now. Well, it's less of a site and more of a podcast. We just needed the site as a place where people can kind of come and see put something to the show. So we have a home base, but it's called The Pink Side of the Force, and it's just another Tor podcast. But our niche is that the hosts are gay, and it's just kind of, our point of view, which is not always different. But I think it's just, another aspect of the community that needs to be expressed, and so this is kind of where we do it.
So let me be blunt here. So are you saying that that's from the perspective of what you perceive as the gay side, more as like a gag? Given the fact that BioWare announced that they're going to be having same sex or same gender romances coming post launch, or are you actually gay doing the show from that perspective?
Well, we are both 100% gay. It's not like we're not stereotypical. Well, Lance isn't.
Okay.
Lance is the other host, and he couldn't be here tonight because he's working. Because he works crazy hours.
Okay.
But it wasn't even about the same gender romance arcs, because I had the idea for the show before that. And before that, before I talked to Lance about it, it was originally going to be a show with me and Katie from Bootleg Radio.
Okay.
Her and I were going to do the show because it was going to be like the more effeminate point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So like, oh, this will be fun. But then I remembered, she said with Brehan. And then I talked to my friend Lance about it. He's like, why not just make it a gay show? And I was like, okay, find another gay person in the Tor community. And it was just kind of like dot, dot, dot. And I was like, hey, Lance, you wanna do this with me? I didn't even like think to ask him. So he jumped right on, because I guess he's been wanting to do it.
So
like a show or something. But yeah.
As far as I know, is this? Have you guys bumped into this before? I mean, I've not heard of another show or site that represents that community that I know of. I mean, are you guys the first ones out there doing this that you know about?
There is. I believe it's gamer.net, or it might be .com, but it's G-A-Y-M-E-R.
Okay.
So we're not the first site to do anything like this, but we are pioneers in the Tor community.
I was going to say, gamer.net sounds more like it's covering a wider spectrum, and you guys are just focusing in on Tor then, right?
Yeah, we're just the one game, whereas gamer... Or it may be .com. I think it's .com. .net might be a virus or something. I don't know. But anyway, G-A-Y-M-E-R.
So you got a 50-50 chance if you're going there that you might not get a virus.
Getting have your norms virus. Up. So what's the website? It's pinksideoftheforest.wordpress.com?
Yeah, it's not a legit website, and I wish people would stop giving me crap about that, because it costs money to host a website.
Get a .com!
So... Dahaka, you can pay for a .com.
So I find your lack of heterosexuality fabulous. I love the image
of it. He's like our little mascot now.
Nice. But okay, so I brought it up, and and we did kind of talk before we started recording. What then is the you know, the intent, and you brushed upon it, but I mean, over time, as the game launches and as things come out, where are you hoping to go with that? And what's the juxtaposition relative to, you know, the whole same gender romance that they've already said that they will release, you know, post launch, you know? So where are you kind of going, and then how do you see your show fitting in with the direction that they're going to allow the game to go in over time?
Juxtaposition. Well, wow, I'm sorry, I'm still stuck there.
Well, Lance and I, we talked about this a lot before we started our first episode, because I'm a night owl, so I stay up really late, and then he gets home, and then we talk for like 3 hours. But I was talking to him about like same gender romance arcs, and I was like, yeah, they announced it, and he was like, oh, awesome. But the thing is, like, neither of us were going to lose any sleep if they didn't.
Okay.
I wasn't really big on it. I really wanted to make a dyke smuggler, though, and I talked about this on GU
okay.
The weekend before that happened. I was like, oh, that'd just be really cool. Like a nice, fun little side project. And now that they have that, I can. Because for me, on my main character, I don't really do romance options.
It's right.
Just not something I do on my main characters. So it really wouldn't have affected me that way. Lance is kind of the same way.
So that's interesting. So because most, other than, I guess, Dragon Age and that I know of out here, and the Mass Effect series, I don't know if any other game company that's even offering that as an option, you know, allowing you to have your story the way that you want to, or give you the choice. I mean, and if there's others out there, I just don't know. I mean, but because that is such a small, you know, grouping of, you know, companies that have the moral courage to write the less popular stories or not mainstream or whatever you want to call it, do you normally find yourself just not even bothering with the romance option? You just, you know, leave it as something that's just not there?
Well, yeah, it's just, like, on alts, I'll pursue it, but on my main, it's just, I don't know. It's a cool story option, and I might later on in Tor, just because, you know, it's very story-driven. Because I did it in Mass Effect, like, on my little FemShep alt, I went with Kaidna Lemko. Awesome. But for me, my male main, I just don't really do it. Because I'm not really into the real-life dating scene, so why do I want to do it in a game?
Okay. Well, I can totally see that.
I am into the hack and slash scene in real life, and I do intend to do that in the game. As a healer, somehow.
I'm like, I'll leave that alone. Alright, so then ultimately, where are you hoping to go with the podcast? Well, actually, tell us about the podcast. What are you guys really talking about? Because I'm looking at your website and I'm thinking about your podcast, and it's, you know, two different mediums. Where are you hoping to go with your podcast? Yeah, and I'll qualify my question, because I have not listened to your podcast yet.
Oh, that's totally fine. We had 6 listeners the first episode. That's what Brayon said. Our listeners were 6 average. I'm sorry.
Well, I listened to it off your site. If that makes any difference.
Oh, well, yay, good for you.
well, no, that's, sit down.
No, I didn't mean that to be but you know, like, yay, that's good.
That's, you're going to get nice. More than 6 listeners after this podcast.
Well, yeah, I haven't caught anything live off of Bootleg yet. I keep meaning to, but I haven't caught any live presentations of new episodes.
Yeah, Bootleg Radio is awesome. For anyone out there who hasn't listened to it, and Dahaka when he's on there, it's, if it wasn't out of control with Brayhan and those guys, and before, when Dahaka gets on there, it's just, you know, you had a little what?
What are you talking about? I'm the most conservative guy ever.
Yeah, right. You add a little Larry Everett shadow on there, Dahaka, and alcohol, it's done.
Dahaka's show is great for drinking games, actually.
But what do you talk about on your podcast? I mean, what's the format of your podcast?
We talk about the same things everybody else talks about. Every week I do the show notes, and we have 3 little parts of the show with 2 commercial breaks. And the first part's just kind of, you know, like, hey, Lance, what's going on? How was your week? you know, like, oh, did you see, you know, that one, like, we'll just, you know, pick a little tiny snippet of news, maybe, like, you know, oh, did you see that one forum poster? Like, oh, what a jerk. And then from now on, hopefully, we'll have a guest on each show. We just had our first guest for our second episode, which was Brehan himself.
Okay.
So I guess from now on, hopefully, we'll have a guest every week to kind of give a little variety, if you will.
So I guess where I'm trying to corner you with the question is what makes it a gay podcast? I'm trying to figure out a politically correct way to ask the question. What is it that differentiates it other than a tour or the fact that it's hosted by, you know, two gay people? Do you like try to bring those questions out? Do you try to, you know, present it from that perspective? I mean,
well, I try not to get too political with it.
Okay.
Like, I don't want to get all like into like, oh, you know, gay rights because, you know, call me a bad gay, but I'm not really concerned with that stuff in real life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, I don't want to bring into the game. The site is going to be the more flamboyant aspect of the whole thing because I have a little notebook that I write all these little ideas in. I have tons of ideas for the site and some stuff for the show that's going to make it, you know, you're going to eventually be able to tell, like, wow, like in the first 10 seconds, like, wow, this is a really gay show.
Okay. So then to answer the question, or for me to regurgitate your answer back, the show is the show. And then over time you'll figure it out, but you're not going to be in your face trying to smack people around saying, hey, this is a gay show. It's just a show that happens to be, you know, presented by a couple of gay hosts, and it's going to succeed or fail on its own merits.
Yeah, that's the thing. That is our niche, but that's not our defining quality.
Okay.
We're still a tour show devoted to giving you the news, giving you our opinions, just like everybody else. You know, everybody's got, you know, their opinions, but that is our little niche. And over time, it'll become more and more apparent as we get better at it, because I've never podcasted before. Lance has never podcasted before. So we're getting into it, and a lot of other people, like Sidor and Callan from KBH, Brehan, a bunch of other people are giving me help with the whole podcasting thing. I'm like, oh, you know, like, how would I do this?
Well, you've joined...
As someone who is brand new to podcasting, I'm curious, what was the thing that was most surprising to you as far as, like, the amount of work that goes into it? Or was there anything you came across, you're like, wow, I've listened to podcasts, but I didn't realize this about them, having never done them before? Was there anything that kind of caught you by surprise from that standpoint?
Kind of everything, I thought. Because initially it was like, yeah, I'm going to have a podcast, and then it was fun. And then it was like, okay, you need a website, you need a host, you have to get that host feed and get it to iTunes, then you have to upload everything, and then you have to edit everything, and you have to have a recording program. And I was like, whoa, 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 hold on a sec.
So, and you need an intern, don't forget about that.
Oh, well, we're working on it. We're working on getting a GIMP for the maybe that's my job for Dahaka.
But you know,
oh yeah,
thing that can loan you his suit, it's at the cleaners, I think, right now.
Well, he's getting ready to give it up. You know, he just got promoted, so he doesn't have to sleep in the box anymore.
Yeah, it's only slightly sweaty.
She can't have his ball gag.
No, that's a keeper.
We'll provide you with one. We have plenty of them lying around.
But, you know, the thing is, you know, you joined a community, you know, within a tour syndicate, and just, you know, the tour community at large, and even the ones that are not necessarily member sites, are just full of so many cool people that will help you in learning how to become good podcasters, or tell you, hey, you can use this application. This is free. I would not and could not be here if it wasn't for, you know, a lot of the people that helped me, you know, the guys from Darth Hater, the guys from Torocast, the guys from Mos Eisley Radio. I definitely wouldn't have been here if it wasn't for, you know, Ken Hanksman, a.k.a. Val, who now works at BioWare, who helped me learn, you know, the craft. I mean, I've been podcasting for 2 years now. You know, Bearslan's, you know, been right there, you know, just doing excellent work. He actually was a lot better than a lot of us were up front, but, you know, he had a theater background? Would that be accurate?
Yeah, I just plugged in my creativity and get my way through it, and so it just...
But the point is, you know, we just got a lot of people... I'm sorry if I cut you off. There's just a lot of people out here that can help you,
if that's you know, something you're interested in, or give you ideas on how to do things so that you don't have to make the same mistakes that we made. Or, I mean, if you listen to like the first Guild Armor podcast, that sucks. You listen to some of the few.
What are you talking about? I listen to it every night to go to sleep.
Oh, it'll put you to sleep, all right. You listen to some of the early Tor Seneca podcasts before, you know, Guild Launch, you know, sponsored us and, you know, helped us get good equipment. I mean, it definitely, you know, is a learning your craft thing. So, I mean, you know, we're definitely more than willing to, you know, help you out.
Yeah, that's one thing that I found really refreshing about this community is the people who are willing to help, and how like, you know, friendly and positive everybody's been. Because when I first went on GU, I was like, oh man, these guys sound, you know, like they had a good time, but I thought they were going to be very exclusive and whatnot. And then I just got on there and everybody was all laughing and everything. And now I've made just, you know, tons of friends just through that. So it's a really great community. And I'm glad to have had the assistance that I've had from everybody else and the continuing assistance, which is always appreciated.
Definitely. Any more questions, guys, for Nick? Or Nick, is there anything that you want to plug or any other statements, final statements you want to make about the Nickquisition or the pink side of the force?
I should give you guys my Twitter. I have two Twitter accounts, one for each. There's the first Twitter for the Nickquisition, which is at the Nickquisition, the _ Nickquisition, I'm sorry. And then pink side of the force Twitter is at pink side force.
Spell Nickquisition just for those of us who did catch the creative spelling on it.
It's Nickuisition. Just Inquisition, but you switch the I and the N.
Clever.
Sweet.
I know. It's just me, my little flair.
Vertek, any questions?
No, I think it pretty much covered up everything.
All right. Well, cool. Well, thanks, Nick. Hopefully you'll stick around for the next segment. And we'll go around the horn with Dahaka as we cover some of the news and we cover his site. But real quick, just want to let everyone know that Extra Life is a interesting charity to help sick children. It works with the Children's Miracle Network for local children's hospitals in your state or your local area. And what it is essentially is if you go out to extra-life.org, you can find the website, and what it is instead of like getting people to donate money for every mile you walk or mile you jog or ride a bike or swim a lap or whatever, you try to get people to donate money either straight up or for every hour you game, and it's for a 24-hour period. And so ideally you could get a person to give you $1 for 24 hours, getting a maximum total of $24. Or up to however much they just want to donate. And in that time, you play games and you earn money to help sick children. And
so how's that for a win-win?
That is a win-win. And I'm very proud to announce that Team Guild Umbra, which is my guild, has raised over $1,500. We are in the top 20 of teams for raising money. In the world, so that's pretty impressive. And so on that note, we are going to go to a quick break, and we're going to listen to the Extra Life commercial and some station identification. We'll be back in a second.
Do you play video games? Do you play a lot of video games? Turn your passion for digital entertainment into life-saving support for kids at the Children's Miracle Network Hospital right here in our area. The 4th Annual Extra Life Video Game Marathon is coming up on October 15th, 2011. Now it's time for gamers to make a difference. Extra Life is just like a run or a walk or a bike event, except you never have to leave the comfort of your own living room. Just sign up online at extra-life.org to register. Then get friends and family members to sponsor you for about $1 an hour. On October 15th at 8 a.m., you play any games you want, on any system you want, for 24 hours, or as long as you can. What's important is that you turn your Xbox, PlayStation, PC, Wii, or even your phone into urgently needed support for local kids. Find out more and sign up to play online at extra-life.org. That's extra-life.org. Play games. Heal kids. Extra Life. This message is made possible by Children's Miracle Network Hospitals and this podcast.
Transition frequency secured. Beyond the grind, Episode 17, ScorchOrb.OP.com. Beginning in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome one and all to episode 17 of Beyond the Grind, your podcast and resource for role-playing in the Old Republic. I'm Barislan of the Mantell Syndicate, the Old Republic's whole role-playing home to the galaxy's best scoundrels, scum, and scruffy-looking nerf herders. And joining me again tonight, from Gamebreaker TV's The Republic and Massively.com's Hyperspace Beacon, it's the only life form I know who can down 3 pangalactic gargle blasters in under a minute and still manage to make the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs. Welcome, Shadow, to the show.
Thank you, and isn't it amazing that I can actually do the Kessel Run in a measure of length and not time?
Isn't that
crazy?
Well, that has to do with cutting off the standard run by flying through the black holes in the middle.
Right.
So, also joining us on the show tonight, we have a couple of senior staff from over at SWTORRP.com. One of whom is a Beyond the Grind veteran, all the way back from Episode 4, Jedi Mumbo Jumbo. It's our favorite host from the planet's largest ex-penal colony, the Thunder from Down Under, Gandan. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you very much, and that intro was awesome. I love it. Thank you.
I'm glad you approved. Your agent wrote it for us. It was one of the requirements.
Very good.
Yep.
I'm glad we got the cup.
We will be expecting a check.
Right. So, and in stark contrast to someone who doesn't have an agent or wrote us an intro, also joining Candace is his fellow senior staff over at SWTORRP, Vanth.
What was that?
Really? Well, since I don't have an agent, I would like to mention that actually I have a team of lawyers that are actually Ewoks who are going to come and kill you. And they defeated the stormtroopers, so they're going to come get you. That's what I stand by. There you go.
Thanks so for having us on the show.
Yes.
Yes, this is already shaping up to be an awesome show. So Vanth is our token female on the show today. She told me not to say that, but now that she's threatened me with Ewoks, she is our token female. So.
There you go, token female.
Okay. That was some sound effect in the background there. I don't know what that was, but
I don't know what that was.
It was intimidating somehow. So
I was intimidated.
So as I mentioned, both you guys are senior staff over at SWTORRP.com, which is an awesome conglomerate of role players getting together, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that later in the show, get some time to talk with both of you about that. Do either of you have any other groups or guilds or sites or activities that you're associated out with out there that you want to give a shout out to there real quick?
Ben, no, you go ahead. Like I said, my only guild is Guild Awesome, which I'm a sole member of. So.
Oh, yes. Ladies first, of course, right? Ewoks and all. And I did not do that sound effect. I don't know what that was. Anyway, I'd like to give a shout out to the Unchained. They are a Sith guild, RP PvP, RP heavy, of course, and they haven't really got a lot going yet besides me doing their website, but hey, they're going to get there. And then, of course, I'd like to give a shout out to the Velvet Pearl. They're a great group over there, Zahara and those guys, and I've been doing a lot of RP out there, and Sabea will kill me if I don't mention the Yakala Tonka, which means drink up in Huttese, and if I pronounced it wrong, oh well. It's going to be the U.S. RP PvE server, Cantina, and social place to go at Nar Shaddaa, if you don't get killed getting there. Okay.
Yeah, I second that, except Tonka makes me think of Tonka trucks. But let's.
It does, yes, but going along?
Tonka makes me think of Tutonka from Dances with Wolves, but
oh, that too. No, that's a good.
That must be before my time. Before my time.
All right. Anyhow, back to the Old Republic.
Yes.
So, we wanted to take a little bit of time here to talk to you guys more specifically about the site you guys are senior staff on, SWTORRP.com. SWTORRP.com is basically kind of like a role-playing community site. You think that's an accurate description of it?
Yeah, I would say that's a very accurate description. Yes.
How would you guys describe SWTORRP? What is it about?
Gandan, you go first, Mr. Awesome.
It's miserable.
Well, you can answer. Oh, thank you very much. Mr. Awesome, will now take the stage. Okay, I'm going to try and be serious here. You could, answering your question, you could probably answer it in one sentence and say, yeah, thank you. That it's basically a hub for role players for Star Wars, for not Star Wars Galaxies, that's the old game. The Old Republic. So people come together and they find like-minded role plays, and I guess they can go off and enjoy some role play, like pre-launch as well as post-launch, and set up some story arcs, get their guilds launched on the website. We've got a wiki coming as well, so players can create their stories and put their characters there. We've got a lot of features for the website, and we've got some more upcoming as well, but I'm sure we can go into that later.
So pretty much anybody who is interested in role play, considers themselves a role player, looking for other role players, looking for role playing resources, all those are good reasons to show up at SWTORRP.com.
Yeah, that's right, because we're not a guild, which I think we've been mistaken for a couple of times. We're not a guild, we're just a site that that holds like a flock of role players. It's like getting ready to release them. Go, my children. So, go roleplay. Have some fun.
What's the inspiration behind it? Why do role players do? I mean, I could think of my own reasons, but why do you guys, as you know, scene scammers of this? Why do we think we need this play hub?
Wow, that was the longest sentence ever for. Six words there, Shadow.
Precisely.
Sorry, I got interrupted. Somebody was typing to me, and then somebody was interrupting me.
I was just interrupting you. What is the inspiration for the site, and therefore what's the need and purpose for something like that? Some people will tell you that they don't, forums are not needed. I mean, there's ups and downs to forums. Forums can be a great place, though, for resource for role players, finding other role players, other guilds. To get together with and tell your story with, places for posting your story, posting your blog, especially pre-launch. I believe that these sites actually do have a value. I read somewhere recently on another site that's supposed to be another RP site, and that's their viewpoint, that these sites had no value during launch, and I disagree. We have 706 users as of yesterday, and I think most of those are unique users, and maybe not all of them are active. Maybe they just peruse the site, but at least they can get inspiration from meeting other role players, reading other people's stories, get information if they don't know a lot about a topic. You'll see debates going on, which can get kind of heated about different viewpoints, but I've always found it that it's about communication and connection, whether good or bad. I think it helps somebody out there. Maybe not everybody agrees that these sites are needed, but it's a hub. It gives you a place to go for, like-minded role players. Because I remember when I first played my first MMO, I wasn't going to RP, although I have role played in text-based environments, and I don't know, when I started out in Starsider, there was no forum, really. People just kind of went out, and whoever you found to role play with was whatever, but I think even in my past experience with the forums, even some of the downsides, it was still a great place where I got to meet a lot of people that I would never really normally have met during the course of my normal server activity. Because if you're in a guild or a group, or you may only, you're going to be only exposed to a small amount of people. Whereas if you go on a forum, you meet all sorts of people. And I think with Tor, we actually are not just a one server site like some sites might be. We plan to try to support as many servers and people as we can.
That's right. And we're not just a forum either. We're not just a forum. I don't want to talk myself up here and, talk the site up too much and brag about it. But we are pretty awesome.
Please talk it up.
Yeah, I will. I'm going to.
Let him get started. He's stoking the flame.
Okay. So we touched on resources before. One of the big ones for role players will be the SWTORRP wiki that's launching very, very soon. So we all know what a Wikipedia is, and we know how good Wikipedia is for Star Wars role players. It's like a massive Star Wars encyclopedia, but we're going to have something like that for the Old Republic. So we've got our wiki editors working on that. That'll be up soon, and you can go in and create your stories.
Is that soon trademark, or do you actually kind of have a date in mind for that?
No, I'm going to go with BioWare's style of announcing release dates and go, oh, it's coming soon. I'm sorry, it's coming soon.
Right. And
unless Vamp, you can elaborate on that. Do you know when it's going to be launched? I have no idea.
And there's the truth, folks. He has no idea.
An imitation of the BioWare policy. We're going to tell you it's coming soon.
We can't talk about that right now, but it's going to be amazing when we get it out there. So
yeah, exactly.
Abandon later. Anyway, I just read the text.
So do you guys have, like, in addition to just resources and chats about roleplay and stuff like that, do you actually have, like, sections for, like, fan fiction and roleplay stories going on and forum roleplay and stuff like that?
We actually have, as I'm the forum administrator that oversees that stuff, and Gandon's our awesome news guy. They do a great job providing news about all sorts of things. But to discuss the forum for a minute, yes, we do have sections for journals and stories where we encourage people to actually post their stories. And the open stories section is really cool too, because you have people there doing interactive stories. We also set up a chat room called The Stage, which sees some use, where we try to get people to get together and role play on the site if they want to do that as an option. We have that too. But I've definitely found those are great to have, especially I'm hoping the wiki will add to that too, because people can do character development.
On the topic of Gandon being the news guy, and let me just say, short of, a site like Darth Hater or something where, it's actually a job for some of those guys. You guys pump out more articles per day, per week or whatever than just about any site. And it's all new stuff. It's not just, here's the announcement that we got from BioWare and we're rewriting it here and linking to it. A lot of it's unique stuff that's all roleplay related. And it's for those of you who haven't been over to the site, they do that right off the homepage, and you guys, you've got a queue of usually about 8 to 10 of your previous articles, and there's a section for comments on them. But it amazes me how much quality stuff you guys crank out on a regular basis. I would never have the time to do that.
It does take up a lot of time. It takes up a lot of time, and I'll just, while I'm here, I'll say a big thank you to our reporters to do the report, because it's a big job. Especially on the weekends when, news does come out. And like you said, we don't just go, this is what the news are. The news for the Friday is go to the link and go and enjoy it. We try and bring it back and put it like a role-playing spin on it.
Right.
And that's only just for the news. And then each day, Monday to Friday, we have our Force Reflections, which I'm sure you've seen as well, which I like.
For those who haven't read them, though, what would a Force Reflection be?
Okay, so a forced reflection is it's in the form of a question. It's a question that we ask our community, pretty much anything about Star Wars, but we try and stick with any topic relating to the Old Republic. I like to use them as like character building exercises, where I ask the community a question about what their character would do in this situation or that situation. So again, it's another resource to help people develop their characters.
If you guys want to hear more and get outtakes from the show and any number of additional topics that we're talking about, please subscribe to us on iTunes or come download the full director's cut over at barslandpodbean.com, as we mentioned at the beginning of the show. And thanks again to Shadow for another show under his belt. And
yay.
With everybody again. Yay.
That was a tough one.
It was.
Oh, definitely, yes.
And also just, thanks to Gandon and Vance for coming over and adding their own personal version of awesome to the show.
You are more than welcome. Thank you.
Definitely welcome. Thanks for having us.
We hope everybody listening out there got a bit of something new that'll help you guys out in the Old Republic and your role-playing stories out there as you seek to create your own adventures and create your own personal brand of epic. So, good night, everybody. Thanks for your time and listening to the show. Everybody say goodbye.
See ya.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Au revoir. Ciao.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Termination protocol established. Beyond the crime signal dark. In 3, 2, 1.
This podcast has been brought to you by Guild Launch at guildlaunch.com. Guild Launch is the premier guild host management system. They have over 2 million registered users. They support over 180 different games and have over 100,000 different guilds, clans, and corporations. For all of your guild hosting management needs, to include PvP management, raiding, DKP systems, chat, and everything, please check out guildlaunch.com.
All right, so coming back on, welcome to the second half of the show, and we're going to focus now on our other guest who has, contrary to his actual personality, sat very quietly through the first half of the show. We got Dahaka now. We're going to focus on Nothing Gaming. Dahaka, welcome.
Oh, hey there. Hey, yeah, it was like hard. So, like, I had to say something when he said about the min-max thing. Now I was squirming there. There's another blue boy right there. But yeah, I was like squirming there because I had to say something. I was like, oh my God, no. No, okay. Yeah.
I figured you just muted your microphone during the first half or something because I'm like, how the heck is he just sitting not interjecting anything? Because if any of you guys have not have caught Dahaka's show, he is a large and in charge big personality, to say the least. So we're glad to have you here on the show with us and adding your own colorful flair to the Tor Syndicate. So
personally, I think he went on a beer run. Just walked away.
I did an episode. I couldn't find Barislan that night, but I did an episode of Bootleg. I just kind of came on and I kind of got pulled in, and Dahaka was on there, and it was just off the hook. And I was so drunk by the time that the show was over, I don't even really remember what the heck we talked about.
That show absolutely had nothing in it. There was like, what we talked about. There was no real Star Wars in the entire show somehow, and like it still lasted like 4 hours. So who knows? Who knows? I don't know. I have no idea what that show was about.
But wasn't it fun, though?
Oh, man. Oh, I have a great relationship with the dude, like all the dudes at Bootleg, since we joined them months back now. But, yeah, they're awesome. And, yeah, you guys should drop around there some more anyways, though.
I need to, and Barislan definitely needs to. It's just, you know, the weekends are so wild up for me, but we're probably going to try to get something going with those guys pretty soon. I know that they're going to hopefully be going to New York Comic Con, but tell us about who you are and tell us about your site. Tell us about your podcast. What's going on, man?
All right. Well, first off, the more popular thing actually is our podcast. I'm the host of Nothing But Tor, which is one of two absolutely unholds barred, like, you're going to get my opinion, and you're going to get it loud. And there's nothing that I am afraid to touch on and basically give you flat out what my opinion is on that. Probably the other one actually is Galactic Underground with my friend Brihan there. But basically that show is me, two other friends who run the show, and I'm definitely the voice of the show. But it's kind of those things where it's I don't want to say shock jock, but it can be construed as being close to that by, you know, some people. But
so
at the
you're
same
saying
time,
you don't have particularly good inner monologue skills. there's no filter there.
There is absolutely no filter there. Because, no, don't get me wrong, because, like, my biggest problem was because there's a lot of podcasts out there who, like, whether it were things that they see or they don't see that, hey, you know what? That's kind of messed up into the game, and it should be a different way. We're going to be the first ones that's like pointed out that, like, no, it should be like this because of this, and it's stupid that they actually did it that way. So, I mean, definitely if you if you're a small child and something like that, you should probably leave the room anyways, though. So definitely never check out our podcast. Never listen to our podcast if you're sensitive about, you know, issues like racism, sex, anything like that. Yeah, don't listen to us.
I'm just sitting here thinking about Eddie Murphy, 1983, Delirious. Old people that get offended easily, y'all should just get the F out now.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it is. And that's basically the biggest disclaimer is, like, I don't really care if people like the show or not. Apparently, the people do. So, hey, that's cool, too, which I was surprised about anyways. But that's basically the podcast that our actual website, which is nothinggaming.com, actually is a new site, like basically more like actual news. They just have like editorials and things like that and some opinion, but it's more family friendly. If you don't listen to the podcast, you can go to the website. And we actually do, Vertic actually hooked us up with one of our newest writers. That's Jay Frank over there. So definitely got to give a shout out to Vertic for hooking me with that guy. He's awesome, by the way.
So basically, Vertec, the intern who's got promoted to Vertec, the producer, is now producing for you guys, or he's a talent scout.
He's a talent scout.
Damn.
Always on the lookout.
How much are we paying this guy?
Wait, pay? There's nothing. Pay involved?
Nothing. get back to work.
What do you think that tray with the bread and water on it was?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess I thought that was just for being good that day.
So, Dahaka, Nothing Gaming, where did that name come from?
That's actually... No, well, it originally came... That's actually the name of our guild. That's like 8 years old now. So it was just like, I like the name. We'll just keep that. That's who we are anyways, though. So, I mean, we had some people, you know, come from WoW who knew who we were. We still brought it over here because we basically stopped playing WoW because, you know, that game. That's another bleep for you. So, I mean, I'm moved on from that anyways, though. And also with the fact that we are all hardcore gamers. Like actual like in-game ratings, so like that is what we care about. If you listen to the show, you'll pick it up really quickly that we're not, you know, Care Bear casual, like let's all get along, whatever, you know, people. I'm probably like the anti-community, but you know what? There's a small sect of the community that is my people.
Right. You know, so you're like got a community of anti-community, which makes you...
Yes.
You're your own community.
That makes you an enigma wrapped in a riddle kind of thing.
I'm a community voice for the world-class douchebags. And you know what? Those are my people, and I love them.
So basically, you and Kimiko from the old Toro cast would get along as elite, gamers.
Yeah, or as Brihan from Galactic Underground calls me, is the voice for the world-class douchebag. Well, no, like world-first douchebags. So, I mean, yeah.
That's cool. I mean, you know, I think that's cool if, you know, that's your thing, because that's what makes this great is the fact that, I mean, look at this show. I mean, we've gone from, like, you know, talking about an openly gay podcast to talking about Leet. And this is the first Leet conversation we've ever had. Normally, the thing is, you know, we've talked about RP or we're talking about just casual. I'm not really a casual. I mean, I'm a hardcore raider, but I'm not going to do anything if it interferes with fun, because I work hard enough for my regular job. The last thing I need is a second job.
Whatever. So that's the best second job ever. You get to kill little computer monsters and stuff like that. Best second job ever.
Okay, I mean, and again, you know, but that's the cool thing is the fact that you can feel that way, and that's cool, and I don't have to, you know, and I can totally respect that. That's what makes this community so much cooler than so many of the other MMO communities I've seen, because they've just been polarized. Whereas, you know, and especially the forums. I mean, the Tor forums do suck bad, just like the WoW forums, But the thing is when you get outside of those... Though.
You think it's bad now, it's going to get incredibly worse.
I agree. But the cool thing is you step away from that and you look at the fan sites, you look at the guilds, you look at the podcasts, and everybody can come together and just chill and hang out and accept the differences. You know what I mean?
No.
I was waiting for that. I'm like, here it comes.
That's like I said. No,
like, I will hate on people like it's crazy anyways, though.
So there's nothing gaming.
There's so much hate.
Hate leads to suffering.
There's so much hate in the other directions and stuff like that. So, I mean, I don't mind calling out parts of the community, which I think is totally fucked up. But, hey, you know what? Someone has to be the asshole around here. And I don't mind being the asshole.
Hey, everybody's got their gift, so you know you got to go with
it. Yeah, you know, right?
Yeah.
You got to go with it, man. If you got
Hey, someone has to be the black sheep of the community, and I'm totally fine with being the black sheep of the community.
Okay, that's it's like one of my favorite quotes. It's someone's got to be the bitch and I have a schedule to keep. I live by it.
So we've got the Nothing Gaming news site, and you mentioned Nothing Gaming came from a guild you just have. So is there going to actually be a Nothing Gaming guild in game that you're setting up to? Or
oh yeah, man, like yeah, of course there is.
Yeah, is that already you know, registered? And people can sign up for it. How does that work?
Than the website or anything like that. So I mean, that is the name we keep. That's us. That's always the name of my guild. That's just what it's going to be.
Are you guys accepting applications already and got membership in place, or how are you doing that?
We're not big into like having like, oh, I don't want a big like 400 person guild or whatever, you know, big community like that. No, like we are elitist rating assholes. So you know what? If you want to apply to us, you actually need to have some, you know, something to back it up with.
Street cred.
Yeah, yeah. Like we're not open recruiting anything like that. No. I'm not concerned about being basically merc with like 400 fucking people that like, oh, it's a big cluster. How am I going to raid now with like 400 people? Whatever. They're semi casual. I don't care. But we're hardcore. So you know what? We purposely narrow down our roster.
So what do you use to do that with? I mean, what catches your eye about somebody who, say...
Oh, right now, we've hardly recruited anyone out of the people that we already have. We already have 35 people to set up for a 16-man, rating. So, honestly, at this point, you have to be, super all-star, stellar, world top 50 for me to really even care. Don't get me wrong, if people want to come and, maybe they like the show, they like our attitudes, like that, and they just want to hang out, that's fine, too, but...
You're not rating.
You're not rating. And that's fine.
You can be a spectator.
Yeah, you can be a spectator. I don't care. That's fine. But I don't purposely go out there and try to find people and stuff like that. Screw all that.
All right. All righty then.
But that's the guild.
Hammer, see if you can pull out how he really feels about it. I think you need to.
So you're saying that you're not recruiting.
Yeah, I'm saying don't apply.
All right.
Simple enough.
Don't call us, we'll call you, kind of.
No, don't get me wrong.
Are you on a PvP server?
Yeah, I'm on a PvP server. Are you kidding? Oh, come on. Come on.
Now, how can you do...
pick up my personality, and I could be like, yeah, this guy's going to be in a PvE server. No.
I mean, yeah. But if with feeling of 34 people, how are you hoping, no matter how good or bad your enemy is... How the heck are you guys going to roll anywhere with only 34 members? You're going to get stomped by a 400. Merc will stomp
you. Just if they Zerg you,
Merc will stomp you. I don't care how badass you are. If you got 34 people and for whatever reason you got a chip on your shoulder about Merc, you will get hosed. You're not winning that war.
Okay.
In open PvP on a PvP server.
Yeah, open PvP. First of all, I'm no stranger to playing on a PvP server anyways, though, since probably, I've been playing MMOs now for, 15 years. So, yeah, it's nothing about that. The reason we keep it small, actually, is purposely for the rating into the side of thing. I still like to personally play on a PvP server because, every once in a while I feel like being a dick and maybe I want to go kill people.
No, I can see that, but I'm just trying
how it is. And I like the open feel where it's like, hey, if I'm sitting here leveling and there's some other Republic guy, and of course we're Empire, imagine that. Oh my God, the asshole's playing Empire. Wow, big surprise.
It is your destiny.
But if I see a Republic person over there and be like, hey, I want to have the option where I can just attack them if I want to. Because that's honestly how it should be. They're the opposing faction. You should be able to attack whenever you want to.
I can see that, but I guess all I'm trying to say is
we're not QQ Care Bears where it's like, oh, I don't want to be sitting there leveling and getting attacked. Whatever, guy. And there's no way 400 people guild is going to come up and try to steamroll an entire area.
The Emperor does not share your optimistic appraisal of the situation.
What are you talking about? That happens all the time, and that's how they control mats. Ilum on a PvP server, I feel sorry for the less dominant guilds because they're not getting any good crystals. Or whatever, they're going to be boned.
See, that's why you're also being a hardcore player. And you'll sit there and you'll play at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
So, no. I mean, that's just really how it is. Not to mention that, but of course we have alignments. Are you kidding?
I'm being educated here.
He's got a plan.
Apology accepted.
So how did you get like this? I'm like, I don't have the option of the 4 a.m. Leveling, but hey, that's cool if that works for you, man.
Your power's a weak old man.
I'm learning.
No, because we are a community that's passionate about gaming. Whether it doesn't even really matter if it's an MMO or not. All of us play. All the time.
I would take you to task on the level of commitment and passion for a game. Choosing PvP versus PvE, but I don't think you want to have that discussion on this podcast.
You got that feeling too? We don't have any discussion anywhere, man.
But
I think you're reading him all wrong here.
No, I mean I can definitely respect your candor, but what's made you this way? I mean, have you always been
what a slightly intense guy?
Yeah, that's hardcore about your gaming.
Sure.
All right. Well, okay. No, when it comes to the gaming stuff, right? I don't want to. Played EQ, Ultimo, SWG, everything like that for a long time. Right. Like, pretty much everything. Of course, WoW. That would be, you know, the duh answer in that one. But, no, man, I've basically hardcore gaming the entire time. If I'm going to do an MMO, I'm the kind of person that I cannot play an MMO and be casual. Like, don't get me wrong, I can play a first-person shooter, console game, stuff like that. Oh, yeah, I can, you know, casually play that. That's no big deal. But the thing is, though, that's actually why I love MMOs anyways, though. Because being able to basically, I'm going to make my character better than the next guy's character. Just because you can do that, because it is definitely directly related to time and effort.
I would agree with that, yeah. But how do you find, like, you know, like-minded people?
Trust me, there is a plethora of assholes in the world, and it's easy to find more of them.
So do you guys have the goal to be, like, server first stuff on
no,
things
man,
like that?
No, man, I'm not, just... like, I've done that stuff before, man. And then server first, come on, whatever. It's like, you're talking, like, world first stuff. But, no, I've done that stuff before, for a while. And don't get me wrong, I might end up, you know, doing that again at some point. But it's one of those things, and if you actually know people really in that community, like, they'll do it in phases, where it's like, well, I'll do it for like a year, and then they take a break. Right, and so like, it just kind of goes, because trust me, being at the side of like, if you're talking about like WoW guilds, like Vodka and stuff like that, they have a high turnaround rates. Like all those guilds do. They have right. high turnaround rates. Just because, and it's not because they're just replacing people because they suck, you know, which a lot of people get the bad connotation about being a hardcore player to a casual where it's like, oh, hardcore guilds don't really care about you or whatever. Like, no, it's because a lot of people actually trade out a lot because honestly, burnout is actually pretty high when you play at that level for extended periods of time.
I can believe that too. So what do you guys use to measure success in your guild? I mean, what is it like if this is happening, we're good, we're golden, this is our goal. So what's your measure of success for your guild?
Well, basically, it's server first, I'm not really too like worried about that. I mean, if it happens, it happens. But you know, we would sure hell be like second. You know, basically when you're talking like competitive nature, and then you're really talking about theme park MMOs, really when it comes to this, because it's you can't really measure too much in sandbox. But basically, you can actually tell across the whole community is like where a lot of the guilds are and stuff like that. If you're pretty much in the upper, you know, 10% or something like that, you're doing good. You just don't want to be like in the, you know, the average level where it's like every guild's on this, like,
right,
this whole thing, or you know, heads pretty much roll at that point. So,
You know, it's funny as we're having this conversation, I'm looking at the Nothing Gaming website, and the Facebook likes are 666.
666, yes.
I'm like, I'm like, all right.
That's completely a coincidence, by the way.
I'm going to think it says it all.
Now, the actual website itself is more straight news, more so than the hardcore asshole opinion and stuff like that. Mostly because I have the benefit of having three people who work for me who are unemployed. So we actually end up beating a lot of the big guys to a lot of the news solely because of that. So
I was going to say, are you Darth Hader? Wait a minute.
No, we do actually have like editorial and opinion stuff like there, and we kind of have a sense of humor for a lot of things too.
Okay.
Yeah, we actually have a soul, so whatever.
Alrighty then. That's cool. So where do you see your site and your podcast going as the game you know finally comes out and everyone's got access to the same news at the same time? How are you guys going to differentiate yourself? Huh?
Pretty much everyone already has access to the news at the same time. Let's be serious about that. Because, I mean, out of all the news fan sites, let's say, pretty much we know where the sources come from. And pretty much it all hits all around the same time. When it comes to actual news at launch and stuff like that, well, trust me, pretty much like as soon as the NDA is lifted, pretty much that's going to be everything you're going to see in game at launch. I mean, already, even before the game is going to launch, you pretty much all the news sites are going to have everything. So, I mean, in that part, not really, but us being more like hardcore minded, like we'll go and like if there's guilds that are doing something significant, things like that, we'll actually talk to them. Like, believe it or not, even though this is the Dahaka personality. Actually, I'm a PR guy in real life, in that other job, real life person. So it's there's a turning on and off switch on that stuff. But for that stuff, we'll actually do some riots with them, talk to them, do interviews, probably pull them on the podcast. With that, with guilds actually have accomplished something significant in terms of mostly PvE. Although if they're, you know, that might change once they actually eventually put the rated war zones and so on, because there's no real way to measure PvP until then.
So then how are you going to differentiate yourself from all the other sites that are the other fan sites out there? Because, you know, there's a bunch of them out there, as moving forward.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm not worried about the actual news site. No, I'm wrong. Really, the whole meat and potatoes, everything is the podcast. Basically, the site's there. It's where it's like, hey, if you're a fan of the podcast, yeah, just come to the site and check out the news and stuff like that, because basically we already have it there anyways. So, I mean, really the attitude and the real soul of the whole everything comes from the podcast.
Okay. That's fair. So then,
and it actually secretly doubles as a guild site too within itself, but people can't access that stuff though.
Wow, that's so meta, man.
Multi-talented.
So you have 34 members now. Now I'm assuming these are all the folks that came from your last guild, since you're not recruiting, right?
Yeah.
Okay. How big do you guys want to get though over time?
Oh, I'm not concerned about getting big. Like I absolutely don't care about getting big. As long as I can have 16 outstanding people who want to raid
available,
like that's pretty much all I need.
That sort of thing.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I need. But so I mean, of course, obviously, because I've led guilds for a long time, so with that, yeah, obviously, recruitment and stuff like that comes in like that and play a lot. Right now, up until launch, not super like isolated onto that. Until we actually can get into the game, get more of a flow on things, how we're going, and then really see what the rating scene is like. From then, we'll start, more actively involve recruiting.
Okay. So then if you're that small, how do you get a decent economy going?
Economy? That's the server, not the guild.
I mean, within your guild, normally you're going to need to try to get, decent coinage to provide yourself with, the decent mats or the decent loot.
Unless... Are you kidding? These are hardcore players, man.
Yeah, like, grind these are
people
stuff,
that
man.
Grind and farm and, like... Yeah. Yeah, these are the people who basically make money on the server.
And then
you can almost look at any major hardcore guild in any other game. Usually they actually are small. But you know what? They're probably some of the wealthiest players on the entire server.
Oh, yeah, their bank is full.
It's because the entire mentality is that it's like, I'm going to maximize my player in every way possible, not just what the character wears, the gear, like that. They're going to have, the flow, basically, to be able to do and what they're on. And like, you'd be surprised, those guys, like players like myself and I'm like that, we are surprisingly cheap. Like, we do not like to pay for stuff that we can basically grind out ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean... Financial side for a hardcore player, a true hardcore player, it's not an issue. It's really a non-issue.
That's interesting. I mean, my time is definitely worth a lot more than my money. So,
and you have people like that too.
I just don't have,
The thing is though, that's also
when that time.
The whole guild aspect comes on in, where it's like, yeah, if you have someone who they don't have all the time to grind out something like that, you're going to help, your fellow guild mate out and stuff like that, which actually is a little bit better in a smaller guild because you actually build that, almost family feel kind of thing.
Right, you actually feel like you know the person versus...
Yeah, trust me.
Like,
I play with these guys for
He's some guy that is in our guild. When did he join? I don't know who he is,
No. See, like, especially when it's, like, my guild and a few others. I think Brihan's is, like, Unconquered. His guild's, like, 12 years old, something like that. Mine's 8 years old. Like, we've played with these guys for a long, long time. So, I mean, even though, yeah, we are hardcore, we still have that family mentality where it's like right. The guild has moved along through this entire time through, like, various games, things like that. So
you got that history.
Yeah, yeah. Like, helping another guildie out is non-issue.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Well, let's
let's talk about the quick updates for this week, shall we? We got the interesting Explore the Galaxy with the Galaxy Map last week, and I know that a lot of people are talking about it, so I don't want to hit it to death, but just want to get your general comments. What'd you think of it, Nick?
I think it was a nice update. I wasn't too happy just because it wasn't more information like about the game, which is what I crave.
Right.
But like Brehan said, because we talked about it, he said it's something that, you know, the community needed, and it was just, you know, an all-around benefit. Because, yeah, it is really nice to be able to see that. And I hope it's a similar interface in the game, like when you get your galaxy map on your ship or whatever. I think that would be a really cool way to do it, have it move around and whatnot.
It is kind of cool to see, like, you know, how everything kind of, you know, sits in relationship. Like, over here is the Empire and over here is the Republic or whatever. You know, I thought that was kind of interesting. Vertek? Yeah.
I like the update. I mean, I was digging around on a bunch of sites, and a lot of people are going off about how it's another map update, rawr. But I really liked it. I mean, I think it's a slick idea how they put it all together. And like Nick, I'm hoping that's how it turns out in the game. Plus, this is going to be the first MMO where I'm actually looking forward to the story aspect versus just, you know, getting to the end game content and raiding till my face falls apart. But
Tahaka, what were your thoughts?
Okay. First of all, it is maps version 2.0 update. Whatever. Here's my whole thing on that. Why did they? Okay, they obviously spent a lot of time on this, like a tremendous amount of time making this whole. I wouldn't even say flash based because somehow it's not flash based.
No, it's the Unity
player. Yeah, what the hell is the Unity player?
It's basically a web 3D engine that works in a web browser.
So it's
a game engine. Yeah.
Flash can do that too. Whatever, they went to the lowest bidder on that one because the Unity player sucks. But how come they couldn't make it so it's like, I hate when you click on it and it actually opens up its own separate window. Why don't they have it so it's actually embedded into the website?
Just so you can't copy it.
Oh, whatever. Like, oh, grats, you can copy a galaxy map.
With Flash, you can download Orbit Player and you can copy the Flash and then embed it and put it in your own site or whatever.
Oh, grats. Now you have a little Flash interactive galaxy map. That's not that big of a deal. My concern is I'd rather them work on the game than sit here and spend all that time with an interactive galaxy map on the website. I was fine with the maps they were before. I was totally fine with the way that the planets and everything like that. Totally fine. So now it's to that point, you have like these super high quality worlds and stuff like that. Then you click on the video and it's like the old crappy videos.
And it's blown into whatever size you've got your window.
Yeah. Not to mention, like, as soon as you open the window, it's like blaring with music and stuff. You're like, oh my gosh, Unity. But yeah. So they could have spent a lot more. For me, they could have spent a lot more time on the game, and they could have given me a fan Friday. I don't care. I'll see more blue Twi'leks. That's fine by me.
So you're not a fan of the just want to make that clear.
No, man. It's it was a waste of time and effort that, like, no wrong, it's nice they would do it like that, but I don't get excited about it. It's like, that's cool. I'll never look at that again. I mean, I do it wrong. Like, I'm sure you're going to have something like that in the ship with the little galaxy map thing with that because, have you ever played Mass Effect? Yeah, it's going to be probably something like that.
All right. Hey, Barislan, what do you think?
I thought it was nice eye candy. I think for anybody who's interested in lore and background on it, it's a nice little summary element. But to some extent, you know, I don't know how often I'll be going there to look at it myself, but it is, I think, a good way for people who actually are interested in kind of understanding, you know, what the outer spiral arm of the galaxy is versus here. You know, they want to advance that understanding past just game mechanics. It was definitely a very pretty presentation of that. I think you could have done it just as easily in the Flash interface on the page as far as just the information they presented. But, they definitely put a lot of work into making it pretty.
Where's the what update?
Where's the lore updates? Do these stop doing those now?
Yeah, they pretty much said they are stopped doing that until the game launches. And the only way you get to see it before that is like if you got one of the collector's editions and you get the whole booklet or whatever with all the lore in it.
That's stupid.
Are you talking about the timeline?
Yeah, the timeline.
Yeah, they're done with that until game launch.
I would much rather have a timeline update than, oh, here's more maps again.
Now, I predict this about their 3D Galaxy Unity player thing. Because they put so much effort in that, and because the rendered stuff looks really nice, actually, if you've got video capture that you can pull that off your machine, I predict that you're going to start seeing shots from those scenes incorporated in like people's guild videos and stuff like that. So they're going to use it as another way to pull video that they'll splice in for whatever it is they're sending out there. So
I'm just saying, would a brother had a timeline update?
Yeah, I'd like a timeline update period just because it's been forever and it's another 3 months since we'll get one.
Lance is busy working on a movie, I'm sure. Okay. Crickets. So Nick, what do you know? So they had like I guess a ninja update today, which was basically that the beta testing invites were coming out.
Actual invites, not the oops we sent that email out and just ignore it. Invites. Yeah.
So it's the second
an invite though. It's like, hey, give us a survey in a game you haven't played. Here you go.
Yeah, we had a lot of people going, crap, did I miss my invite? Holy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, if I fill it out, does that mean I get in?
Yeah.
Did you click on it? Did you click on it? It didn't let you do anything.
Yep.
Hey, salt meat wound.
Well, yeah, I got an email though that said that they were apologizing basically for sending out. Did you guys get that?
Yeah, same pretty much. My thing is like, how do you accidentally send emails? Mass like beta server, like beta like survey emails. How do you send that by accident?
I think it was to distract from the atrocity that was the release announcement. I think that's what it was.
All right,
was
so
like, ooh, we'll give them this as a distraction.
So I think we've held that one with like we haven't even touched that one, but why don't you expand on that, Nick, and tell everybody what happened?
Well, I had a little post about this on the blog. I think it was really underdone, and I'm not like freaking out like everybody else. Like, oh my god, I didn't hear about the train and the train. It was all about the train. And I'm not even worried about the train. I'm worried about the terrible acting that went on with Ray Musica or whatever his name is. How terrible it is. They're like, oh, you know.
The doc's presentation.
Yeah,
it was like, pretty bad.
What about when we're releasing the game? And the enthusiasm from the audience, there was like none. I was like, why aren't people taking their shirts off and, you know, punching each other in the face? Because that's what I'd be doing. I'd be like, woo, they're releasing... They're giving us the release date. Ow! I would have thrown.
Did you watch that whole video too? Like even after that, they're like, oh, here are some. We give you beta invites too, and they're like, are you serious?
Kind of he's turning on and off the lightsaber.
Yeah, I have to say that it was not. It was anticlimactic because I really thought that E3 or PAX would have been the best forum to get the most bang for their buck in releasing it, because at E3 and at PAX you have the entire world looking at your game, whatever your game is. But let's say, you know, it's SW Tour. Not only do you have the world looking, but you have free publicity under that circumstance, you know, because all of the gaming media companies are there, so they're all going to cover you. So that you know, you can't pay for that level of exposure. So I really kind of think that they missed an opportunity to get it bigger. But at the same time, I have to kind of think logically here. You know, it's Tor. This is the one MMO that everyone's been looking for at least 2 to 3 years. I don't know any game that people have been looking forward to this much. So they could have released it in the subway in New York to some hobo, and people would have lost their damn mind and been like, oh my god, Tor's coming out. Did you know that? You know,
there's one more game that people were looking forward to more so, and that was Duke Nukem Forever. What did that take, like? How many years did that take?
15 years.
Like, wow.
Damn. You said Duke Nukem. And did it suck, too? I didn't even play it.
It's a horrible game.
It just looked,
don't ever play it.
It just looks bad. Look the same way it did, you know, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Whatever. Someone's like, at some point, it's like you're playing like a little miniature Duke Nukem. Yeah, whatever. That's stupid. Stupid concept for a game. That's what happens when like four different publishers and like, you know, companies actually start handling a game. It keeps getting bounced off to the other people over the course of 15 years. It has a horrible game. And it plays like it was made by multiple different developers who had no continuity at all with each other. But going back on the tour thing.
No matter where they would have released it, the information, people would just be happy because it's been so long. You know, I mean, whether it be E3, PAX, or, you know, Europe, Afghanistan, they could have released it right now in Iraq and people would have lost their damn mind and been happy, you know, because people just want the game to come out, you know. That's what I think.
Yeah. I'm actually really glad, too, that it's December because that gives me Skyrim time.
Oh,
yeah, but also sad because November would have been sooner, and I was really hoping for November because I would have put Skyrim on the back burner. But now I can do both.
You get a full month plus of Skyrim then if you pre-ordered. Mm-hmm.
Actually, a little bit more, yeah. So, all right. So that's really pretty much it for the updates. Hopefully, you guys, if you didn't get an email, you'll get an email soon to be in the weekend invites, or hopefully you'll get all of us will get a full-on invite just to do whatever. I want to thank everyone for coming out. I want to thank everyone for coming out. This has been a much longer show than normal, but it's really been informative. We've had a lot of lively discussion, and I think this has really been an amazing experience to, you know, just talk about so many different things that we, you know, never have really had a chance to speak about before. So, you know, we're just not afraid to push the envelope and cover really anything here at the Tor Syndicate. So thanks and have a great evening.
Provided by FixedStore.com.